welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud. You can check us out on the website americaoutloud.com, or as always, find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, or just about any audio app. We have a big show for you guys tonight, but first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Andrew. I'm doing well. I'm excited to be on tonight. And as you said, we have a great guest on tonight, BB Diamond. And BB is a fantastic speaker. We've spoken with her before. And BB has a cause. Her whole thing is, you know, the elevating the Black family, removing the Black family from the oppressive state that so many people say that they're in, especially white liberals and a lot of Black politicians, to put in the Black family up and above all that. So she's going to talk to us tonight about saving the Black family. Without further ado, we have Miss BB Diamond. BB, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for having me on, gentlemen. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, we want to have you on because we've talked before. You've appeared on other shows, and I know that you have a passion about this one particular subject. Because when we look out there and we see what's going on, and it doesn't look good for the Black families. It doesn't look good, especially for the Black men who are missing in the Black family. And I know that you and Barbara from Harlem, who's another individual that we've had on our show, have gone out and talked about this. And now you are stepping up and you're talking about it more so. So, BB, share your thoughts with us.
Well, thank you. My thoughts are, and I've seen this up close and personal, that the destruction of the nuclear Black family has been a disaster for our community. And it really escalated, and I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, it escalated during that period. And part of that was the policy that Black women, period, could get more money from the government if a man wasn't in the home. So I saw this as I was growing. I saw the devastation. I saw it in my own family. Now, with the fatherlessness in my personal situation, it happened to my grandmother. It happened to my mother. You know, my father left the home. So I've experienced it personally, and I've experienced the breakdown and how it impacts particularly Black men. Because men are supposed to be leaders and providers, but they're not being taught that because, you know, they're being raised by women. And oftentimes these women are not equipped to be raising children on their own. And it has such an impact on the Black family. I can't even begin to tell you. I see it every day. Being here in Newark and between Harlem and Newark, Irvington, I see it every day.
So rebuilding the Black family is one of your goals and your missions. And as you said, the Black family's not the Black male not being in the Black family, which is so important. And we see so many homes that are broken up. And then you have these women, like you said, who are not equipped to give young boys the life skills that they need to be young men. And at the same time, you hear these same women saying, well, this is how a man should be. This is how a man should act. And you would think that if they're saying that, they would raise their young sons to be the gentlemen that they think they should be. But it's just the opposite. It's like a vicious cycle that goes on and on and on. And you wonder, when will it stop? And then we look for the oppressor, the person whom we view as being the oppressor, to come in and act as a savior. And it just doesn't work. What are your thoughts?
No, you're absolutely right. And what's bad about it is Black people don't really understand that we've been manipulated by the left, by the Democrats. We actually think they're saving us, or they've been our saviors when they've been oppressing us, because they want, in my opinion, to keep us as victims and so we'll continuously vote for Democrats. In the meantime, the Democrats keep blocking school choice, so it's hard for our Black children to go to better schools. I mean, they have such massive control, and we just blindly go along with the program, and that's very concerning to me. And it's, you know, Hillary Clinton talked about it takes a village to raise a child. But if the village is on fire, how can you properly raise a child? In other words, if you go into the projects, as we call them, and if 90% of the residents there are in single-headed households. How can we productively raise our sons when there are no productive, godly men in their lives to guide them along the way? And that is what's missing. You go to the prison, most of the men there come from fatherless homes. And this is a real problem in our community.
A very, very serious problem. And something that you just mentioned, Hillary Clinton and her, it takes a village to raise a family, it takes a village to raise children. And she wrote a book about it. And I got to admit, I fell for that at one point.
Me
too. And then I started to look at, listen carefully and understand the meaning. It takes a village. No, it takes a family, because when you have all these other people getting involved and telling you what you should do and what you shouldn't do, it messes everything up. We can't instruct our kids because the schools want to do it. Whereas if we have the fathers at the home, the head of the household, and so many women are so quick to demonize the man, to demonize the Black man. And in society today, at the top of the hit list, hate to say this, Andrew, but it's you, my white brother. You're at the top of the hit list. They don't like you. Next behind you is the Black man, because the Black man is too masculine. He's too strong. He's too this. Why is it that they want to beat down the Black man? You look at TV, at the examples of Black men. They're feminine. They're not strong. They're beta men. Now, if that's your cup of tea, that's fine. But why can't we have strong Black men on TV? Why do we have to have these men who are weak and spineless? It's really sad.
No, I completely agree with you. Where are the, what's that show, The Jeffersons? Where are the George Jeffersons?
Oh, yeah.
Where's the father of Good Times, James? You know, how strong he was protecting and providing for his family, even though they lived in poverty in Chicago. Where are the strong Black men on television from the show Good Times?
James Evans was a strong Black man. People didn't like him. And you know what, BB? He left the show because they tried to water him down. He had so many fights with the producers of the show because they didn't like the fact that he was a strong Black man. They wanted, they like JJ. No, JJ had his role, but we needed to see that strong Black man who was leading the family, taking the family to the next level. Although, like you said, they were in poverty, but he was a strong Black man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the attack on men has been detrimental to our society. You know, Black Lives Matter, before they took down that part of their site, one of their goals was deconstructing the nuclear family. Now, the Black family has been decimated enough, but one of their goals was deconstructing the nuclear family. Again, the attack on men. And yet the irony of that is Black Lives Matter use men, particularly Black men, to do the damage, to do the looting, to do the killing, but they want to deconstruct the nuclear family. The nuclear family is a key unit in any society. If you destroy the family, you're going to destroy that society, that community, and that's a fact.
BB, you mentioned since you grew up, it's always been a problem in the Black community that the fathers leave early. Have you seen any progress in this area in your lifetime, or do you think it's only getting worse?
Right now, I think it's getting worse. I don't see it right now getting better. You rarely see a Black man with a woman and a child, and I hate to say that, but that's true. It's getting worse, so I think more work has to be done, more of an awareness. And really, we have to rebuild the Black man, because the man really is key to any nuclear family unit, and that needs to be restored.
Well, you know, Barack Obama at one point had come out and had talked about the Black man being in the family. And then somewhere along the way, he just decided just to be quiet, be mute and whatnot. I personally don't think he's a good example for Black men. I know that it's probably not a popular statement, but I think that he is so disconnected from the Black experience, so far removed from what's happening, that he can't be a person of leadership.
You know, you bring up an excellent point, Rob. I totally agree with you. This is why Barack Obama, although he says he came from Chicago, he was a representative of a district in Chicago. He really doesn't relate to the people. Like Kamala Harris, because she's not African-American, she doesn't come from the Black experience. It's hard for her to relate. Barack Obama is not really a good example for Black men in that sense. I totally agree with you. His father came from Africa. His mother was white. Nothing wrong with that. And he was raised, as far as I know, in Hawaii. So he really didn't come from the African-American Black experience, particularly in urban America. And I think that's one of the reasons that instead of Barack Obama really getting involved with helping the people of Chicago, Black people who are murdering each other every day, he's living in Martha's Vineyard in a predominantly white neighborhood. He doesn't really relate, in my opinion, to the Black experience. What he and other Black politicians and left politicians do, they use us to promote this anti-American agenda. They use us to say, oh, America has this racist past, but they don't really care about Blacks, not genuinely, not in my opinion.
Right. We're seeing the same thing with this founder of Black Lives Matter cashing in on four homes in predominantly white neighborhoods. What are your thoughts on the Black Lives Matter movement? You've already commented on it slightly, but what are your thoughts on the movement and where it's headed?
I think that's an excellent question. Thank you. The Black Lives Matter movement is a perversion of the civil rights movement. It's based on Marxism. And it's a fraud. I mean, I remember asking my teacher years ago about communists, why do the leaders of a communist country, why do they ride in a Mercedes-Benz while the average person is on a breadline? That's what communism and Marxism is. The leaders are elitists while the rest of us are peasants. The Black Lives Matter movement, in light of the purchase of four homes, even the family of Breonna Taylor is questioning Black Lives Matter. And a family, I think of Michael Brown out of, Missouri, they're questioning Black Lives Matter. Where has all the money gone? Where's it gone? Who have they helped? What Black businesses have they helped rebuild? What communities have they helped? So I think Black Lives Matter will be gone in the wind, not completely, but their influence will fade. And it has started to fade, in my opinion, in the Black community. Because again, it is a perversion of the civil rights movement, which was founded on Christianity.
Well, I got to say, the sooner it fades, the better. Like, they're riding around in Mercedes and the other people are riding around in Hoochie Mama cars. It's
right.
A disgrace. It is disgraceful. And one of their premises that was on their site was the destruction of the nuclear family. And within that, make no mention of the Black man. So how are they trying to rebuild the Black family if they've removed the Black man from the household? How can they rebuild the family? I really don't think they want to. They want to keep the Black man out. And as you pointed out so poignantly, is that they have used the Black man to riot in the street, to cause destruction. And he is a man who goes to jail. He is a man that they will not say, as Barack Obama said, to have the talk to let them know when you're stopped by the police, you need to make certain that you're not making any sudden movements. Don't be flippant. Make sure that your hands are on the steering wheel where they can see them. Now, we say the talk for Black men, but that is a talk for all people, not just Black men. But it seems as if, though, within the Black community, you have to specify this because someone has told them, i.e. the media, someone has told them, the liberal politicians, that they are above the law, that they don't have to listen to the law, that they should not be stopped, and that it is an affront to them to be stopped. Are you serious? If the police stops you, they need to assess the situation. If you think that you're unfairly stopped, you wait, live to see another day, and you file a complaint. Why try to fight the police? Why try to tackle the police? You don't have a weapon, they have a weapon. And if you do have a weapon, drop your weapon, or you will get shot like Jacob Blake. Okay, that's just common sense, people. We're not asking you to do anything special or anything different than any other American citizen. But yet and still, here we are with the media telling them they don't have to do it.
No, you're completely right. And I want to point this out. My mother raised three sons in the Deep South in Central Florida. And she told my brothers, if you're stopped by the police, be respectful. Don't say anything. If it's anything, have them call me. That's what my mother told my sons, my brothers. And being raised in the Deep South, they had no problems because they were taught to respect the police. Part of the problem, Rob, is that a lot of Black men, again, they're not raised by fathers. They don't respect authority figures, and it carries through different parts of their lives. So to show their manhood, because they're not taught how to be a man, really, they take it out on the police, on authority here and there. And that's part of the problem, this rebellious nature that's not being honed or shaped by male mentors from the church, from positive male role models. So they're taking it out on society, taking it out on the police officers. When if you're absolutely right, if you just be respectful and quiet, you'll survive to live another day and file a complaint. So but the Black men in this sick, perverse way, the Black man is still being used. And I think this is very important. Black men are being used by the left to try to undermine this country. And a lot of Black men don't even realize that's what's happening. And I think part of that is a separation from Judeo-Christian values. That's my belief. And that's why any program that I develop to help Black men will emphasize Judeo-Christian values, because those are the values upon which Western civilization was built. And when you're not being raised by a father, your mother is on her fifth boyfriend, you have all this confusion. What's happening is, in my opinion, we're raising potential psychopaths, because if these Black men and women don't feel like their own family or mother and father don't care about them, they're not going to care about anyone else. And that's why you see Black men, in my opinion, kicking, punching, attacking innocent people, because they're frustrated. But what the Al Sharptons and Stacey Abrams and others want to do, they want to project that onto white people, when it's really, this has nothing to do with white people. This is the broken home.
Wow, you said a lot there, BB, and something that you said that at the beginning that's very interesting and seems true from what I see. Obey and you will live another day. Seems like a lot of the problems is these Black people that are having problems with the police are not obeying the police officers. But it leads me to another question. How big of a problem are the role models in the Black community? We see like Snoop Dogg endorsing his drug use, Cardi B and her WAP song. There just seems to be a lot of bad role models for children in the Black community. And that seems to be who they predominantly look up to. And it almost seems like it's glorified to be to leave your kids and some of these rap songs and whatnot. What are your thoughts on the pop culture in the Black community?
It's pretty poor. It's bad. Like I like some of DMX's songs. He did like the prayer and all that, but you know, it's just negative. The pit bulls, the anger, the fighting. Then you have the vulgarity from artists like Cardi B. Our children really are surrounded with this negativity, the focus on sex, violence, and drugs, which leads you to death, to an death or an institution at the end of the day. And I'm not sure how we come out of this unless we really reintroduce into the Black society Judeo-Christian values. And some people are atheists, and I respect that. But there's really no moral guidelines right now for a lot of our Black youths. That's why they can go out in society and do destructive things, punching and kicking and attacking and robbing and stealing, because they have no moral guidelines. And the key moral guidelines, and the Black church has always been the cornerstone of the Black community, the key moral guidelines are outlined between the Old and the New Testament. And when you don't have that, in addition, not having a father in the home, it's chaos. It's chaos. You're not getting guidance because your mother, in some cases, like my mother, Barbara from Harlem, had to work two or three jobs raising us. In other cases, the mother is just negligent. She's on drugs. And I remember in the 80s when crack hit the Black community like crazy, even in Central Florida, you had crack babies being born. So the role models in the Black community and entertainment are not good. And I hope that turns around. Yes, we have artists like Kirk Franklin, but we need more of that to kind of help turn this around.
Right. We need more of that to turn it around, because if we don't, the Black community will suffer. And just so that people don't think that we're just attacking the Black community, All communities suffer from these types of issues. However, and unfortunately, proportionately, the Black community suffers more so, the Black and Brown community. That is the reason why we're focusing in on it. White communities have their issues, Chinese community, Indian communities, all communities. But proportionately, when you look at the Black community, you look at the father not being in the house, it has damaged and hurt the Black community. And we need to bring it back. And I'm so glad that Bebe Diamond has a foresight to say, hey, there's a problem and let me see what I can do to help it, as opposed to trying to go out and profit off the backs of our Black brothers and sisters like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Ben Crompton. They see an opportunity and they run and they just take it all out there. And that shouldn't be. It should not be that way. We should recognize a problem and then try to help these communities, help that community to overcome those issues. Talk to the Black fathers, talk to those guys and say, hey, this is how to be a man. These are the things that you need to do. It's more than just being a man and getting someone pregnant. It's more than being a man than just using your third leg. Let's just be honest here. That's not being a man. It's more to it than that. And that's some of the things that we have to start focusing on within the Black community.
No, you're absolutely right. One of the devastating things is when I was growing up, and I've actually ran into Al Sharpton and I've met Jesse Jackson down in Montgomery, Alabama. But one of the devastating things from those two hustlers, in my opinion, is they kept telling Black men, the white man will hold you down. The white man will hold you down. So you have Black people born in the United States who don't pursue the American dream because they've been fed this lie that you can't make it here. Meanwhile, they're raking in millions. And this is why you have other communities, people from India, from Asia, outpacing us because they have intact families and education is emphasized. But we're being told, and we've been told, you can't make it because America is racist. Well, how do you explain Barack Obama being elected twice? How do you explain Oprah Winfrey? How do you explain Michael Jordan being highly successful? But that message, that brainwashing that you can't make it, and it's impacted our community to the point that many of us do not pursue education. We don't pursue our goals and dreams and tap into the talent that God has given us because we've been brainwashed to believe you can't make it in America. Meanwhile, Africans make it, Haitians make it, Hispanics make it. Why are we the only ones who think we cannot achieve the American dream? It's disgraceful.
Can't achieve it because they're too busy selling this whole thing of racism, this whole thing that you're oppressed. Black men can't get out there. Whenever a Black man gets out there, if they bump a stump, it's, oh my God, I can't do this. So what do? They run to drugs. They beat up the family. They beat up the wives, the kids, and then they're removed from the family. This has to stop. It is very unfortunate. Why hasn't Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton come out to say, we're going to create a program for Black men, as opposed to waiting until a Black man is killed, and then you start protesting and tearing down a city or a town so that the family will get millions of dollars. I'm not for that at all. I am not for that at all. Live to see another day and then make your money. Why do you want a family member to die in order for you to get $1 million? Just think about it. It makes no sense. And that's what we see happening. It's constantly happening. Something goes wrong. You have Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson on a plane, and they're going to like straighten it all out. No, they're going to see how much money they can make because a Black man has lost his life. A Black man that they have not chose to cancel. Not once have you seen any of them. Barack Obama, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton stand on a platform and say, Black man, we love you. We want to save you. Again, this is not to say that we don't have these issues in other communities, but the Black man, come on, folks, we got to get real.
And you're raising an excellent point, Rob. And another thing that frustrates me is you don't see them talking about restoring the family. Black pastors don't even talk about it. They don't even talk about the high rate of Black on Black crime. Why don't they? This is a disgrace. I mean, they act as though Blacks who are killed by other Blacks have less of a value that Blacks were killed accidentally in many cases by white cops. I mean, this is a disgrace and it's really a sin, in my opinion. We have to talk about rebuilding the Black man therefore rebuilding the Black family. That is absolutely critical. And we do that by teaching our Black men Judeo-Christian values. I mean, we have to do that in order to save our communities. And I see it every single day. And one of the things I plan to do this summer, now that the weather's getting nicer, is handing out tracts. When I'm in Patterson and I see these men just standing around liquor stores, handing them tracts to let them know that God loves them. Now, some of them will reject it, but my job will have been done, because we have to reintroduce the church back into Black society, not just a place you go on Sunday, clap your hand and stomp your feet, but something you live every day, because otherwise we're going to continue to see the deterioration of our society. And I said back in the 1990s that Black people are like, we're in the wilderness. You know, the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. That's where we are right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is such an important conversation, and we will have more of it on After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the iHeartRadio Network, Spotify, Stitcher, or just about any audio app. Check out the website, AmericaOutloud.com, and feel free to go over there and share some of the articles and podcasts. Lots of great content. We will be back with our guest, BB Diamond, to discuss George Floyd, Delonte Wright, and a whole lot more.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together, we need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
And we're back with our guest, BB Diamond, and we're talking about rebuilding the Black family. Oh, BB, something that you said when we went on break that I thought was rather interesting is you made reference to the church. And actually, you've mentioned that throughout our conversation, the church playing an integral part in the lives of Black. It's just so that people will understand what we're talking about here, is that way back in the day, back in slavery and whatnot, the church was a place that Black people could go and hear about the news. Anything that was taking place in the community, the church was the place. And it had been the place from the days of slavery up until the civil rights movement. And it really played a major role in the civil rights movement with things that were going on. And, you know, when they were going to protest and which businesses to patronize, which businesses not to patronize, just anything that was taking place, you would go to the church. But, and that's why you have Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and even look at Martin Luther King. But somewhere along the way, the church lost its power because you had a lot of false prophets entering the church. You had a lot of teachers, because something else to realize is that oftentimes it was the minister who could read while the parishioners could not. But as time moved on, people started looking at the ministers and saying, wait a minute, this guy's not doing what he's supposed to do. So they started leaving the church. In the 80s, But I think by the turn of the 90s, the Black churches were almost had been decimated. But then came in the mega churches. So people started going back with this whole prosperity ministry. But as far as educating the Black people on things that they needed to know, it wasn't being done. And again, I will say, this holds true of all churches, not just the Black church, but we're focusing in on the Black church right now and rebuilding the Black family, because in today's society, what we see is there's a lot of opposition, a lot of pushback, a lot of claims that there's racism against the Black family. Hence our discussion. So I just wanted to give you that historical perspective so that you can understand why we keep saying the church and how the Blacks need that back in their lives, because it plays such an important role in their lives. You know, Christian values that sustain the Black family that has now, just some of the things that you see now that are taking place today is this ungodliness. It's just, that's so not Black. With the rap and the degradation, it's like, where did this come from the pit of hell? And it's really sad. It is extremely sad. So I just want to give that perspective, B.B. Diamond.
No, and I think that's I think you did a great job there, Rob. You're completely right. The Black church has been a cornerstone, or was the cornerstone of the Black community. When during slavery, from what I understand, that was the only time really Blacks could congregate was during church on Sundays. And that's what the plantation masters would allow. So that's one of the reasons the Black church became so critical and vital. And we need the Black church to rise up once again. You know, we've had enough of the Creflo Dollars and others who are talking about prosperity ministry. But what you don't, what they don't teach and emphasize is the lack of it. We need to be obedient. The Bible said obedient. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. And what we've lost along the way is the connection to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That has been critical. On top of that, then you don't have the father in the home. So it's led, as I've said before, to a lot of chaos. And a lot of our young men, I hate to put it in such stark terms, are psychopaths. That's why they can go into Macy's and beat up people, women. I mean, we saw the video of last summer where they beat up innocent people in bodegas in the Bronx, in Macy's different stores. They can physically attack people because they're taking out their anger and frustration on society. It's going to go somewhere. Because if your mother and your father don't express love for you, or you don't know who your father is, you're going to take it out on someone. And Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and others, they want to keep telling these young men, it's a white man's fault. No, it's not the white man's fault. It wasn't the white man's fault. And I said this on your previous show, that my uncle slept in New York City subway. It was because he lost direction after my grandfather left the home. The broken home is the root of the problem in the Black community. You know, it's been devastating. And I focus a lot on men because the natural role of men, according to the Bible and what we see in society, is that men are supposed to be the leaders and providers. And they're not being taught that. They're being raised, a lot of them, by frustrated, unhappy Black women. And they're just throwing their sons up. They're not properly raising these young men. And the Black churches are not stepping up to help give them guidance and be mentors to our wayward young men. They just drive by them when they see them on the corner congregating around a liquor store.
That's so true. They drive by them, don't acknowledge them, and so the Black man continues doing what they're doing.
You're absolutely right. And there needs to be a change. And that's why one of the ministries that I want to start is to focus on the man. Now, it's open to all races, but since I'm in the inner city, it will be the target audience will be Black men, because Black men, it's devastating. The last statistic I have is that 73% of Black children are born out of wedlock, whereas 60 years ago, you had only 25% born out of wedlock. So it's terrible, but I don't want to be negative. There is hope. As long as there's life, there's hope.
Yeah, BB, we've discussed the churches and then black dads leaving their children. How much of the issue is the school system in these poor black areas? Can the teachers only do so much, or are they part of the problem as well?
Yes, I think it's a combination of the two. The teachers are limited, and then part of it is indoctrination. And this is why it is so important for these inner cities to have school choice. So our children, because our children are just as smart as any other group of children. The problem is they don't have the structure, they don't have the discipline like they do, particularly in Asian families, where they cannot turn on the television until they do their homework. Education is emphasized. In the Black community, it's not really emphasized. The teachers, I mean, they are limited, but it's also, again, a problem of not emphasizing getting the best teachers, and that would come about by allowing our parents, poor parents, to choose schools in better districts or more wealthier districts where they have better teachers.
And I think one of the things that has to happen also, like you said, is that looking at the schools, we have got to start taking control of the education that our kids are getting, being involved. And it just goes back to having someone who is interested and going to pay attention to the needs of our Black sons and daughters. Because what they're getting out there right now is a bunch of indoctrination, which has to stop. So that's going to segue me into current events, things that are taking place right now in society. You look at this whole move to push this new teaching, white privilege, and what is it, race theory or critical race theory. It's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And I think it's going to cause more harm in our society than good. What the heck is critical race theory? Why are we bringing that to the schools? What is that going to do to help unify and bring the country together? If anything, it will rip this country apart. Barack Obama had 2 terms as president. He didn't bring us any closer to the promised land than Moses did with the children of Israel. And I hate to say that. Barack Obama has been a divisive force. He and his wife are the most polarizing first couple ever to leave the White House. What example have they set for anyone, Black, white, red, blue, or purple? None whatsoever. Not to even mention the Black man that we're talking about in the Black family. Have they showcased a real family? No. But what they have showcased is their ability to get out on the world stage and twerk with Beyonce and Jay-Z. What have these two done in Chicago? Now, someone could say, well, they've given privately. Well, unfortunately, we don't need it for it to be done privately. We need for it to be done openly so that Black people will see that there's hope. A 7-year-old kid was killed at a McDonald's drive-thru. Who's marching for that kid's right? Who's going to march? Who's going to burn up and tear up stuff? Not that it should happen. Barack and Michelle, they're not doing it. Al Sharpton is not doing it. This girl, Mallory something, who's a member of Black Lives Matter, she said, well, we should talk to the people in that community and tell them to do it so that they can get attention. No, Mallory, you should be out there and you should be protesting. These are the things that people have to look at. And if you're not Black and you see this happening, if you're white, you're like, wait a minute, you're telling me that Black Lives Matter, but what about that 7-year-old? Why is it George Floyd, a 2-bit criminal who had served time in jail, is being elevated to the likes of Martin Luther King? God forbid, that's blasphemous. Why is it that Devante Wright is being raised up as some martyr? No, all he had to do was to let them arrest him and take his butt to jail, live to see another day. But no, with handcuffs on, he wants to fight. He wants to drive off. What happened to him is unfortunate. I don't think that the officer intended to shoot him with her gun. It was an accident. It wasn't racism. Please stop injecting racism. Stop telling Black people that the boogeyman race man is out to get them. George Floyd, Derek Chauvin didn't just wake up and wanted to kill a Black man. To me, it was excessive force. And had they tried him on racism, he would have been acquitted. It's unfortunate what happened in both of these situations. But Ashley Babbitt was killed by a Black man. What she was doing was wrong, but she was unarmed and she was shot dead in cold blood. Where are the rioters? Where are the protesters? We've got to get this thing right. Because I'm telling you, people are sitting back and they're looking at this, and it is a keg about to be lit. Today's verdict might have like calmed it down somewhat, but these race baiters like Maxine, oh, they want, because of this verdict, they want to try to go and find every police officer guilty. And that's just not the case. Police officers put their lives on the, they put their lives on the line every day. This has got to stop.
No, that's a great, great point, Rob. I just want to say Ashley Babbitt honorably served this country. She was a vet. No, we don't have to agree with the melee at the Capitol, but she didn't deserve to be shot to death. And no one mentions that. But they also don't mention when we Blacks kill each other, including innocent children who are caught in the crossfire. That happens every single day, to the best of my knowledge, somewhere in the Black community, maybe not a child, but it happens every single day. A Black person is killing a Black person somewhere in the United States, and we act as though there's no shot. We act as though it's acceptable. But when a police officer makes a mistake, and they're only human, they want to go home like everyone else. When a police officer makes a mistake, we want to burn the country down, God forbid. It's outrageous. It's like we're saying George Floyd's life is more important than the seven-year-old girl who was killed in a crossfire shooting in Chicago the other day. This is outrageous and it's not acceptable. And we must teach our young men to respect the police. And what, you know, the leftists want to act like Mississippi is still burning and it's we're still in the Jim Crow era, which we are not. And it's an outrage, honestly.
A complete outrage, and it has to stop because Black people can obey the law just like everyone else. We don't need any special privileges. To me, that's a denigration of Black people to say that we can't obey the law like other people. That's ridiculous. We can obey the law just like everyone else. When the police says stop, we can stop. Why do we feel as if though that, no, I can keep doing this, or I can fight the police, I don't have to go to jail? It makes absolutely no sense.
Well, it's this thought that Black people cannot rise to the level of other people in the society. Like the lie by Stacey Abrams and Joe Biden that Black people in Georgia can't get ID. Yet millions of Black people are driving around Georgia. Did they get an exemption that we're all not aware of? How are they getting on college campuses? How are they going to business offices? How are they getting a welfare, food stamps? You have to have ID in order to do most things. But when it comes to voting, Black people, unlike every other race, we can't seem to figure out how to get ID. It's an insult. It's like breaking us down, our humanity down, that we're so incapable, so inept. We can't obey the police and we can't get ID. It's an insult.
It is. It's a complete insult that I can't get an ID. I can, when it's time to get any type of government services, I can go and get an ID for that, to get food stamps, to get driver's license, to get to go and get on a plane, to get liquor, to go to a club. I can get ID. But when it's time to vote, oh, I can't get ID. And then this whole thing with Georgia. Oh, Jim Crow is Jim Crow. You see what the left is doing? Again, it's the denigration of Blacks, of our intelligence, that Jim Crow, the boogeyman Jim Crow. They're putting these laws back out there. So we're going to move the Major League Baseball to Colorado, to Lily White, Colorado. Colorado, they have some of the strictest voting laws, to New York, the strictest voting laws. So Will Smith, you're going to take bread from your Black brethren? You're not moving that movie from Georgia because of that. You're moving it for some other political reason. Tyler Perry's shop is still there. What are you guys doing? What are you guys telling us? And then just a message to these white liberals, sanctimonious white liberals, who don't know their head from their butt. Step aside. We don't need you. We will figure it out. Okay. And if Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or Ben Crompton, if they're asking you to come in, step aside. We don't need you. We can figure it out. Trust me, we can figure it out. And we have to start first, as B.B. Diamond said, with the Black family, rebuilding the Black family, putting the Black man back into the household where he belongs and keeping him there. Alpha males, that's what we need to do.
No, you're absolutely right, Rob. And going back to Georgia for a moment, and when they do things like that, they hurt Black entrepreneurs in Georgia. There are a lot of Black people who own businesses in the Atlanta area. So they moved the Major League Baseball, moved the game to Denver, Colorado, predominantly white, stricter voting laws, and they're hurting, as a result, they hurt Black businesses in Georgia. So they hurt Black people by doing this, by lying about this Georgia voting law. One thing I've learned through this whole process is that the biggest racists are Democrats. The biggest racists are leftist Democrats, or one and the same at this point. They want to emphasize race. This is one of the problems with the critical race theory and why President Trump signed an executive order eliminating it. Joe Biden reinstated it because its focus is on race. Everything in this country, according to the critical race theory, is based on racism. And that is a lie, systemic racism. This is all a lie. They want to emphasize race and they want to keep Black people as permanent victim class. And I'm sick of it.
Absolutely. That's the whole synopsis of critical race theory.
Yeah, it seemed like President Trump was making a lot of progress in a lot of these issues. I mean, you look at the First Step Act, you look at record low Black unemployment. It looked like things were really turning around for the Black community. But then the media obviously was very divisive towards the messaging and not giving President Trump credit for all of his great accomplishments and not speaking on all the great things he had been doing for the Black community. BB, what were your thoughts on our former President Trump and the job he did for the Black community? Do you think he was heading in the right direction?
Yes, absolutely. President Trump was an absolute blessing to the Black community. Because of President Trump's policies, Black unemployment was at a historic low. And in fact, unemployment across the lines for women, for Asians and others. We were really blessed with President Trump. The First Step Act, as you referred to, also opportunity zones in urban areas to help Black businesses. President Trump was really a blessing to the Black community, and he did more for the Black community than any president since Abraham Lincoln. And I don't say that lightly. I literally mean that. And my prayer is that he comes back to office in 2024. But he did more for the Black community in 4 years than Barack Obama did in 8. And in fact, thanks to President Trump, historically Black colleges and universities receive sustainable funding for at least 10 years. They don't have to go back to the White House or appeal to Congress every year. They have sustainable funding thanks to President Trump.
Sustainable funding, while, like you said, Barack Obama wanted to just end the funding, wanted them to consolidate. I will say again, there is no way in this world that Barack Obama did anything substantial for the Black community compared to what President Trump had done. Obama was very divisive. He continues to be divisive. And it's most unfortunate. He's not setting an example for Black men. He is maybe setting an example for, you know, Black women, white women, that they adore him and they love him, but he's not setting an example, in my humble opinion, for Black men. And he has the opportunity to do it, but he won't do it. Why won't he do it?
That's an excellent question. And I think part of it is Barack Obama is detached, as you said, from the Black experience. Barack Obama is not really a believer, a firm believer, in my opinion, in God, particularly the God of the Bible. And those are key things. They want to use the Black man, the Black family, they want, or Black people, I should say. They want to just push the anti-American, America is so racist. They want to keep pushing that. Meanwhile, how do you explain people, for people from Africa and Haiti and from the Caribbean in general, Blacker than me, Blacker than you, they want to be here because they haven't been brainwashed to think that you can't make it in America. I see a lot of Haitians and Africans here in Newark, in Harlem, where they own businesses. They're driving cabs because they haven't bought into the brainwashing that we can't make it in America. Everybody else knows you can make it in America if you put in the effort. But Black people have been told you can't make it in America. It's they have done such damage to their own people. It's a shame.
They've done the damage to the psyche. And that is a reason why so many Blacks sit on the sidelines thinking that they can't do it. And you have the Democrats, white liberals, and Black liberals telling Blacks, you can't do this. You're oppressed. They're out to get you. Look at Kamala Harris. Look at Joe Biden. Look at the statements that he came out. He had said recently that, you know, Blacks are constantly under attack with Jim Crow laws. That's so not true. And if they are, who's doing the attack? It's the liberal Democrats.
Yeah.
So when they come out and they say this, I'm like, why do you guys keep saying this every time they come out? They never speak of positive messages of affirmation as to positive things that Blacks have done. It's more so you're being oppressed. Everything that they want to do on his agenda is we've got to do this because of racism, infrastructure because of racism, climate change because of racism, Black people can't cross the street because of racism, Black people can't own a home because of racism. Black people can't get a job because of racism. Black people can't go to the store because of racism. Black people can't eat nutritious meals because of racism. Racism, 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 racism. That term has been diluted. And look at who's diluting it. Mm-hmm. Democrats. So years from now, when people start saying racism and no one listens, who's to blame? Democrats. And you look at a lot of these attacks that they said, oh, someone attacked these college kids on the college campus. After the investigation, we find out it's a big lie that was all made up. So when I hear these things, I'm like, here we go again. And does Obama come out and chastise them? No. Does Maxine Waters come out? No. Maxine Waters is kerosene. Maxine is too busy putting more fuel to the flames. It's just, it has to stop. It has to stop. If we're going to move to the next level, if we're going to move forward as a country, as a people, we have got to set this stuff aside. We have got to, because telling Black people that they're under attack and that people are trying to kill them just isn't right. When you look at the bigger picture and you see that white people have also been killed, but it's always, oh, they're doing the same thing that they did back in the day. That is a disgrace to those Blacks that died, gave their lives. Emmett Till. To compare George Floyd to Emmett Till is blasphemous. I would never do that. I would never look at George Floyd and say that he is a martyr. He was a two-bit criminal. The way he died was unfortunate.
Yes.
But that's where it stops. Mm-hmm. It has to stop there. We cannot get the two confused. You look at King's family and his life. He was snatched from the bosom of his family. I'm not saying that King was perfect. Okay? But he was removed from his family in a very tragic way. You look at some of the other civil rights leaders, Medgar Evers. What did the country give them when they lost their breadwinner? Absolutely nothing. But what do we give George Floyd's family? $27 million. And for what? I'm sorry. That's just a bit excessive.
No, I completely agree with you. This is really, of course, the way he died was unfortunate, but George Floyd was a drug addict. And at some point, he tried to turn his life around. He did not, apparently. He was high that day. We're not excusing what Derek Chauvin did, but to act as though George Floyd was some kind of martyr is a disgrace. And it's blasphemous. Emmett Till was an innocent teenager who was killed because they thought he was whistling at a white woman. Medgar Evers was assassinated because of his work with the NAACP. This is a disgrace. We need a leader like Dr. King once again. It's what's going on in the Black community and how we are being used by the left, white and Black. We are being used. So it's got to stop. We need a godly man to step up and be a leader once again to help guide the Black community, because Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are not it.
Not it at all. They don't do anything but sow more and more seeds of destruction and confusion and divisiveness. And we need someone that could lead the people and take them to the next level. And where does it start? It starts, as we said, at the church, with the church. People who are willing to listen, and they're willing to take these people in, take in the Black man, and have programs to show them how to be men, how to keep a family, how to respect themselves. Because you've got to respect yourself first before you can respect someone else. That's what we need. We need to take it back to, I don't know about you, Andrea Beebe, but I used to go to Sunday school. And that was so important in my life. Going to something that so seemed so simple, but it shaped my life, Sunday school, because I learned so much in Sunday school. And if we could get back to that, if only for a minute or a second, take the kids to Sunday school, and not just the kid, the parents need to go and make certain that that dad is there also, because the family that prays together stays together. And I know this is like a cliche saying, but it is so powerful and so true. Going to Sunday school is so important because you learn so much about respect for your life and the lives of others and how to do what's right.
You're absolutely right. And right now what's happening, and it's been happening for the last 40 years, I would say, is we have both the father missing and then the children are not being taken to church. And that has had a devastating effect on the Black community.
Devastating effect. And if we're going to take it back, if we're going to reclaim it, if we want to gain ground to restore the family, that's what we have to do.
Well, yes. Thank you so much. And I thank you for having me on. Please follow my mother, Barbara from Harlem, on Facebook. We do a live stream every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we discuss this issue and other issues. And she really captures it in her book, Escaping the Racism of Low Expectations, which is available on Amazon. And I thank you, gentlemen, for having me on tonight. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, it was such an important show tonight with our guest, Beebe Diamond. And thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud. Check out the revamped website over at AmericaOutLoud.com. And please feel free to share the articles and podcasts. We really appreciate that when you help us share our message. Find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, and a whole lot more. We will see you next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.